Let's pray. Jesus, we love you and we honor you and we thank you once again for this moment and for this time that we have to dig into your word and get to know you more, Jesus. That's what it's all about, is getting to know you more and helping others to get to know you and reaching out, spreading your kingdom, God. We pray that you work through us this morning, that you work through this message, and that none of it is from Pastor Eric, but it's from God only, and to his people in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm going to be speaking over probably the greatest thing ever discovered by man, fire. Has anybody ever played with fire? Raise your hand if you've played with fire. I was expecting mostly men because we're the dumb ones, right? Who has ever been burned by fire? Raise your hand. How did that feel? Did it leave a mark? Yeah, it's no fun. It's no fun. So I have a story of playing with fire when I was, maybe 7, 8, 9 years old. Typical dumb 7-year-old boy. So at my grandpa's house, he had this big old chicken coop, huge chicken coop, and he knocked it down. We were going to have a big old bonfire. This is way out in the country, Mount Carmel. And so we had a bunch of friends come over, and we're burning this chicken coop after it's on the ground. So it's like a real bonfire, you know what I mean? Huge. And as it kind of died down and all these like little wood panels are all over the place and there's little fires here and there, I thought it would be a smart idea to try to impress my friends and test out the fart and fire theory. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I'm just a kid, so I'm like, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to try to fart over this fire and see what happens. And that thing, before I could even find one to let out, the fire swelled up right on my hind end. And that was not fun for me, and it was not fun for my mom to try to help me out with in the bathroom after having burns on my butt cheeks. So fire is no joke. Fire is no joke whatsoever. And there's a lot of it in this message that I have for you this morning. So if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 3, I'm not going to go over the whole beginning of the chapter. I'm going to kind of briefly brief you on it. King Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold and summons all the people to worship it whenever they hear music, and whoever doesn't bow down and worship it will be thrown into a blazing furnace. Then these three astrologers came along and don't pay any attention to the music or bow down to worship. So then the king puts them on trial, basically. He has them and he's confronting them and tells them if they don't do this, they're going to be thrown into the furnace. If they don't worship this image that he has made out of gold. So we're going to pick up in Daniel 3. I accidentally put down 4 when it pops up on the screen for you. Ignore that it says Daniel 4. It's actually Daniel 3. Starting in verse 16, says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if. This shows the attitude of these three men, the amount of faith that they have in God delivering them, that they say, even if he does not, we will still serve the God we serve. I like that attitude. So my question to you is, are we living out an even if kind of faith or an even when kind of doubt? Because sometimes we come across this situation, we're in a fire, and a lot of times, I know speaking from self-experience, I don't always have an even if hopeful kind of idea. Sometimes I doubt things because I'm human. I doubt getting out of this situation. I doubt that the cancer is going to be beaten. I doubt that this sickness is going to be healed. I doubt that these chains are going to be broken. I doubt that the past is going to be swept away. There's no reason to doubt. It's finished. But to understand that even if those things don't happen when we're in that situation, when we're under fire, when we literally can feel the fire beneath our feet or beneath our hind ends, as my story was. Even when we feel that, and even if he doesn't save you from that, God is still God, and he's still a good God, and he's still there with you. He may not take it away, but he's going to comfort you when it happens. Even if he doesn't save us from this fire, we will still serve our God. You know what happens if he doesn't save them from the fire, right? They die. Even when they die, they're going to serve him. Even when they die, they're going to praise him. Verse 19 says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the blazing furnace. So then this shows how furious the king was. 7 times. The fire is heated up 7 times hotter. That's almost as hot as it's been outside lately. 7 times is a lot. And how do you even measure that? The number 7 in this just stood out to me for a lot of reasons. And I kind of went into it and researched number 7 and found a lot of interesting things about that specific number. I'm going to go through a list of things real quick. One thing is all music that is created is based on 7 basic notes of music, right? If anybody knows anything about music, yes, there's the 8th, but it's just an octave higher than the 1st. So there are 7 notes in music. Next thing, if light is passed through a prism, then it splits into 7 parts. We get the rainbow, right? Lots of color there. There are 7 basic crystal systems and minerals. Even in the periodic table, we can observe that there are 7 levels of periodicity. Is that the right word? I don't know how to pronounce that. There are countless number of times that the number 7 is utilized in the Bible. It's in so many stories. It's like I could be thrown out of completely. I read so many numbers researching this. It was a high number. It was like 200s, 400s, somewhere around there. The number 7 is just used in the Bible. Whether they're actually specifying the number 7 or they count off 7 different people or 7 situations, like anything. The number 7 is utilized a lot of the times in the Bible. In the New Testament, the number seven symbolizes the unity of the 4 corners of the earth with the Holy Trinity. It represents a perfect world in which is crowned by heaven. So 7 denotes completeness through the union of earth with heaven. And I find that very intriguing to me because I'm connecting dots here in this story when I read 7, that the fire is 7 times. And the ironic part of that is there's going to end up being 4 in the fire later in this story. We see God on earth with us. There's a unity there. After the fire is heated up 7 times, you kind of catch my drift here. I just found that interesting. The fire being 7 times hotter gives the men all the more reason to just drop their faith. Like any furnace is going to burn, obviously. I mean, if other people are getting thrown and killed into the furnace, what makes you think these 3 men could just get away with it? But it's ordered to be even hotter. But they don't give up on their faith in it. They don't give up the faith that says God's going to deliver us from this. Instead, they're like, even if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him. They still have this faith. And it brings me to another question. Would you be willing to walk in a fire if it meant magnifying the glory and power of God? And I want us to really think about that. Would I be willing to walk through a fire if it meant magnifying the glory of God? I'm not talking about walking on hot coals. I'm not talking about being dumb and jumping through a fire and impressing friends. I'm talking about walking into a furnace, walking into a blazing fire. Would you be willing to do that if it meant glorifying the power of God? like these three men were. They walked into it. They were delivered from it. Verse 21 says, so these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. That fire was so hot that it killed the men throwing them into it. Didn't even touch them. Just the sheer heat from the fire killed the men. The king sacrificed his own strongest soldiers. They weren't just some benched players walking in that he's like, hey, you tie them. He was so angry that he had the fire heated up seven times and had his strongest soldiers. I keep messing that word up. Strongest soldiers. There isn't even a shh sound in that. Strongest soldiers to bound them up and throw them in it. That says a lot that you're so angry that you're willing to sacrifice your best men to throw these three men into the fire. And it was all just to make sure that the three men would die. Then verse 24 says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. I get goosebumps every single time I read this story. Every single time. Because I think about this situation, and then I go back and think about situations that I've been in, and it's that situation that you feel like your entire body is burning. Has anybody ever felt nervous like that? Just that everything is burning, or like even like sometimes Pastor Justin will call somebody up and like, have you ever walked up here and just been like super nervous? I feel like every time Pastor Justin calls me up and I'm standing up here, I'm like, my body's on fire. Like, please get me out of this. In all honesty. These men walk into the fire. They are thrown into the fire by the strongest men. The fire kills the strongest men. They are bound up when they're thrown into it. They aren't bound up anymore. They're in the fire. And what I love here is, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement. This doesn't happen after a little while after they're thrown in. It doesn't take an hour or two for this to show up. It is as soon as they are thrown into the fire. As soon as they're thrown into the fire, God shows up. It's not after a little while. It's not after they just kind of wait in the fire, burning alive, screaming. They get in there and immediately they're unbound, unharmed, and God is with them. He's with them the whole time. There's not a second that they're in the fire that he's not there with them. So the power of God worked immediately. I'm going to get us out of here somewhat early. I'm going to talk about this trick that I learned. Few years back. It's called a water and styrofoam trick. Has anybody ever heard of this at all? Water in a styrofoam cup. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of this. One person. Good. So you're all hearing it for the first time. Awesome. It makes me happy. Okay. So I learned this trick. I was at a friend's house and we're having this little fire, and my cousin's husband or second cousin, I don't know how all that works out, but he had this styrofoam cup, and he was telling me, he's like, set this in the fire. I'm like, it's a cup full of water. What's the significance? Why can't you just throw it in? Like, are you telling me to do it? He's like, set this in the fire. I want to see how you react. Is this some kind of magic stuff? What's going on here? So I pick it up, and I kind of reach in, try to find a spot where I'm not going to get burned, and I set it on this, like, wood. I set it in there, and like, what could be made of wood that's in a fire? Like, so I set it on there, and nothing is happening, to my amazement. There's nothing happening to this cup. It's a styrofoam cup. Styrofoam, just, you throw it in a fire, and it just disintegrates immediately. But this cup was just sitting there, fire all around it, and nothing happening to it. And it was like that the entire night. It just sat there. It never caved in. It never burned up. And I was just amazed by it. After an hour of sitting there, it was still just sitting in the fire, untouched, unharmed. And he told me that it's because the water was inside it. The styrofoam cup alone would be thrown into the fire and burn up immediately and disintegrate, but because the water was within it. Because water overpowers fire. You can't, there's no argument to that. What do we do to put out fires? Throw water on it. You can't have a fire in the rain. Because water was inside the cup, just this shell. If it was empty with anything else inside it, anything inside that cup, are you hearing me? Anything, it would have been on fire. But because it was pure water, it was untouched. The outside had a couple little markings on it, but the cup where the water was, the cup had melted down to the point where the water was, but it wouldn't go any further. Where the water sat, it wouldn't go any further. How many of us understand that when we have Jesus in our lives, when he's with us, when he's inside us, when we invite him in, there's no work of the enemy that can touch us. There's no fire that the enemy could create around us, no fire that he could throw us into that can touch us, that can phase us, that can make us lose that water. Once the water's there, it's not leaving. Fire changes everything except the water that it touches. Changes everything. I've mentioned this a couple times, spoken about it a couple times, but it's one of my favorite things to think about is that fire does change anything. When fire touches something, it's changed forever. There's no going back. There's fire from the enemy, and there's also fire from the Holy Spirit. I encourage us to walk in that fire from the Holy Spirit, to walk around in it, dance in it, have the freedom. There's no chains, there's none of that. Once the fire from the Holy Spirit touches something, there's no going back. The enemy can't create water to wash that off. He can't create something so pure and holy to get rid of something like that. It's changed forever, and I love in this story because later in this story, as soon as he goes, as soon as that part's over, King Nebuchadnezzar even says, when verse 26, it says, he then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. So this changes him. And it's, once again, it's not it's not like it took a couple hours or a couple days or a couple weeks or months or years. It was immediate. As soon as God showed up, everything changed. As soon as he recognized that God was there with them in the fire, as soon as that happened, he didn't just sit down in his throne and say, "Hey, who's that in the fire?" He leapt to his feet with amazement and said, "Who is that? I see four walking around in the fire," and he calls them out servants of the Most High God. He testifies with his mouth, "God is Most High." Immediately that changes. Not only does God protect these three men in the fire, he changes their enemy. I want us to have that kind of faith that makes the enemy declare the Lord our God King. That even if kind of faith. Even if he doesn't save me from this, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to serve him. The kind of faith that says, "I'm no longer a slave to the enemy. Darkness and shame can't make me flee. And when I'm in the fire, there's another standing next to me." I love this part of this song where they sing, "And there is no other name but the name that is Jesus." And that's what these three men live by. It's what we need to live by. You would stand with me. If you're feeling under fire in any way, shape, or form, you feel under fire, whether that's a sickness, whether that's something to do with your job, if it's your finances, if you feel under fire about anything, I want you to know that you're not in it alone. I want you to find that peace and comfort this morning. Your feet may be hot, God is standing with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need prayer over any situation that you're in, I'd like you to slip your hand up. I'm not going to make you come to the altar, but we do have a prayer team that would love to pray for you if you need any kind of prayer. If you want to step out of that, maybe you feel like your body is on fire right now, just standing there. Like maybe you need to come down to the altar. Maybe you need to get that prayer. I challenge you to take that step. There's no growth without movement. Jesus, I just want to thank you for your deliverance. For you being with us no matter what the situation, no matter what the fire we're in. God, I want to thank you for simply being you, being love, being with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us, Jesus. God, I want to pray your presence over every single head in this room, every single heart, every single soul. God, I pray that you just send a walkway on their path to you, Jesus, that is free of fire, that they just walk straight through it. Even when you don't poof us out of the situation that we're in, God, that you'll be there with us. I pray this in your mighty and precious name.